Good morning. Great to see you all here today. That southern y'all coming out of my mouth. So this passage today, even though my title is Set Your Mind on the Things of the Spirit, the summary of this passage is really in verses 12 and 13, where it says, and this is a summary, be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. That is the common summary of verses 12 and 13 and the point of the passage. So, if we have to kill sin in order for us not to be killed ourselves, spiritually, of course, then how does this take place? Well, this passage gives us a few clues, and it points us in the right direction. So let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, thank you so much for giving us your word. Father, in your word, you tell us how you want us to live, how you want us to kill sin, in fact. Father, you want us to be holy. You want us to be holy like your Son Jesus is holy. And you are consistently making us into his image. As we trust in him, as we repent of our sin, as we put to death the deeds of the body, as the scripture says, Father. And if we are truly Christians, we will be putting to death the deeds of the body. We will be killing our sin. That is the point, of course. If we're Christians, then this will happen, Father, and we will not die, because you promise us that there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and with no more condemnation, there is no more spiritual death, there is no more threat of hell. We are free, free to live as we should live, like your Son Jesus lived. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 8, verse 1, which is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, where it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So you see, we have all broken God's law. And because we have broken God's law, we deserve his just punishment in hell. And God is holy and just and full of wrath. And therefore, we will receive his punishment if there is no intervention for us. If there's nothing to break the pattern of our own sin, there's nothing to forgive us from our sin, then we will face his punishment in hell. And there are people in all of our lives who are in this state. They have broken God's law, they deserve his just punishment, and will receive God's just punishment in hell. But there is hope, and we see it in this verse. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, number one, on the cross, Jesus Christ took the condemnation of the Father's wrath in the place of all who trust in him. So, there is now no condemnation for those who are in him. Number one, on the cross, Jesus Christ took the condemnation of the Father's wrath in the place of all who trust in him. So, there is now no condemnation for all those who are in him. So, he went to the cross, and on that cross, he took the full punishment of hell for everyone who would believe in him. And because he took that punishment of hell in our place, if we're trusting in him, then we no longer have to face that hell ourselves, which is great news. When we say gospel, when we use the word gospel, that word means good news. Euangelion in the Greek. It's wonderful news that we no longer have to face that punishment. Because to think that punishment in hell forever and ever, never ending, would be the worst possible thing that could ever happen to anyone. But of course, we have to share this good news with those who don't know him, because they are facing this eternal hell. And the meanest, rudest, most terrible thing we could ever do to anyone is to see them facing this punishment, the just punishment of God in hell, and not say to them, "You are facing the just punishment of hell. You need to repent of your sin and put your trust in Jesus," because that is love to share with them. Even if they are offended, it is better to offend them and give them warning of this terrible wrath of God than to say nothing and allow them to continue towards this horrible fate. Romans 8, verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." You see, two different principles can operate in a person's heart. One is the law of the Holy Spirit, which produces eternal life. The other is the law of sin and death, which produces condemnation and death. So you can either be facing a life where you're free from free in Christ Jesus, or through the work of the Holy Spirit, and that leads to eternal life, or you can be facing a life where you're a slave to the law of sin and death, and that will produce condemnation and eternal death. Once again, talking about this hell, the condemnation and death. Number two, when we are united with Christ through trust in him, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit and are set free from the power of sin and death. Number two, when we are united with Christ through trust in him, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit and are set free from the power of sin and death. So we are united with Christ in his righteous life, atoning death, and resurrection when we trust in him, when we trust in him for it, and then are set free from the power of sin and death that had power over our lives before. But we're set free from it when we trust in him. Romans 8, 3. "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do." God's law by itself cannot produce spiritual life in us. This is because we are sinners by nature. That's what the flesh here is. Our flesh cannot obey the law of God. Instead, we are constantly breaking God's law over and over and over again. Couple of verses to show us this. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." So an unbeliever who does not know Jesus, does not know the glory of God, does not love the glory of God, does not sacrifice themselves so that they might show the glory of God, cannot obey this at all. They can never do everything to the glory of God because they have no interest in the glory of God. Therefore, an unbeliever breaks this command of the Holy Spirit every single second. They are never doing anything to the glory of God, so their life is a life of constant sin. Romans 14, 23 tells us the same thing. It says, "For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin." So an unbeliever has no faith in Jesus Christ, has no faith in God, does not want to have faith in God. So whatever is not from faith is sin. And therefore, all they do is sin over and over and over again. These are hard teachings, but the Bible's clear on this. These two verses alone prove this. So number three, without the work of the Holy Spirit, no one can do anything to the glory of God. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, no one can do anything in faith. Thus, an unbeliever cannot do anything other than sin. They are always breaking the commandment of God. Number three, without the work of the Holy Spirit, no one can do anything to the glory of God. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, no one can do anything in faith. Thus, an unbeliever cannot do anything other than sin. They are always breaking the commandment of God. So what's the solution? What can we do if without Christ, without the Holy Spirit, we constantly are breaking the law of God? Then we need hope, and that can only come through faith, through looking at the glory of God and God changing our heart and us seeing that the glory of God is the greatest, most precious thing that we could have in this universe. We want the glory of God as believers. We want to have faith in Christ. Therefore, our hearts are changed and we can believe and be saved. Romans 8, verses 3 and 4. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Number four, God sent his Son Jesus, who is truly man and truly God. God then laid upon Jesus all the sins of all those who would believe in him. He then condemned that sin by pouring out his wrath upon all our sin in the body of Jesus on the cross. Number four, God sent his Son Jesus, who is truly man and truly God. God then laid upon Jesus all the sins of all those who would believe in him. He then condemned that sin by pouring out his wrath upon all our sin in the body of Jesus on the cross. You see, God condemned our sin in Jesus so that we might receive the Holy Spirit. As a result, the Spirit can now fulfill the righteous requirements of the law in us by causing us to walk by the Spirit. That is what this verse is teaching. But there's something interesting to note in this verse, just a short aside, and this happens a couple of times in this passage. This is the work of the whole Trinity. We can see that in the passage. It says, by sending his own Son, we have the Father sending the Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he, the Father, condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. So we're in this too. Who walk not according to the flesh, but also according to the Holy Spirit. Father sending the Son so that we might walk according to the Holy Spirit. The whole Trinity is at work in these verses. We see it right there. Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Here we see two different types of people, those who live according to the flesh and those who live according to the Spirit. So if we are to live according to the Spirit instead of the flesh, we must set our minds on the things of the Spirit. And we can find those things in the Word of God. So by focusing our minds and looking and reading and cherishing and meditating on the Word of God, We can set our mind on the things of the Spirit that are in the Word of God and be set free, as we looked at earlier, from our slavery to the flesh. So this is both our work and it's God's work. We do this by setting our minds on the Scripture, memorizing the Scripture, loving the Scripture, meditating on it, reading it, studying it. And while we do that, the Spirit comes into our heart, or is in our heart already, and we are saved from our slavery to the flesh, the slavery to our sinful nature. We then are able to kill our sin before it kills us. Number five, Christians are those who continually are setting their minds on the things of the Spirit. Unbelievers are those who are setting their minds on the things of the flesh. The things of the Spirit come from the Word of God. Number five, Christians are those who continually are setting their minds on the things of the Spirit. Unbelievers are those who are setting their minds on the things of the flesh. The things of the Spirit come from the Word of God. Now, you will find exceptions. You will find people who read the Bible constantly, claim to love it, study it, meditate on it, and are still focusing on the things of the flesh. So it is possible, but it is more often true that those who cherish the Word of God are the ones who are saved, because we know it is the Word of God, and we love God, and we want to read His Word, know what He wants for us, and we want to be killing the sin because we hate our sin, because it offends the God we love. So, even if you're unsure of your condition, whether or not you're truly a Christian, it is not a problem at all to know that you should be in the Word of God. You should be reading the Word of God. You should be cherishing the Word of God, because it is our only hope to know more of God and to grow in our faith and escape from the mind that is set on the flesh. Philippians 4:8 gives us a summary of the type of things that are in the Word of God. It says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And these things you will find in God's Word. These things that are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable, if they're excellent, worthy of praise, they are here in His Word. Romans 8:6 continues, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." Paul says the same thing using different words. Those who set their minds on the things of the flesh reap a harvest of spiritual death. And those who set their mind on the things of the Spirit reap a harvest of life and peace. Let me mention here, if we put things into our mind and dwell on things that are full of sin, meaning maybe television shows or video games or music or books that are filled with sinful premises, if we're constantly gossiping about others, talking with people, gossiping, saying bad things about others, being judgmental, if we curse, curse words come out of our mouth, if we look at pornography, all these things are setting our minds on the flesh. So they are to be avoided at all costs. Jesus said that if we have to cut off our arm, pluck out our eye to avoid sin, then we must do that. And He didn't mean to literally cut off our arm, or pluck out our eye. What he was talking about is if there's something which is causing us to live in a sinful way, we need to get rid of it. We need to run away from it. We need to kill it. We need to kill that sin in our life. And the best thing we can do is to turn away from it, pray to God that he would lead us away from it, and go into his word and read about how he saves us. So I'm warning you against all those things and other things that may cause us to sin. We have to not allow ourselves to indulge in things that cause us to sin and not run away from those things. Romans 8, verses 7 and 8. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. This is what I was talking about earlier. If you're in the flesh, if you're not a believer, you're in the flesh, you are hostile to God. Even if you say, oh, I don't have anything against God, I don't believe in God, some people say, or I believe God is fine with me, I'm good with him, but I don't need Jesus. The Bible says that you only have one position if you're not a Christian, and that is that you are hostile to God. For your mind does not submit to God's law. And it says you cannot submit to God's law. You don't even have the power or the ability to submit to God's law as an unbeliever. And it says those who are in the flesh, you cannot please God. That means ever. There's nothing you can do as an unbeliever to please God. It will not happen unless you are repenting and trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Number 6. Those who set their minds on the flesh are hostile to God. Unbelievers cannot submit to God's law, not even a little bit. Unbelievers cannot please God, not even a little bit. Number 6. Those who set their minds on the flesh are hostile to God. Unbelievers cannot submit to God's law, not even a little bit. Unbelievers cannot please God, not even a little bit. So as you see, there's no in-between position. You can't say, I desire to please God, but not all the time. I don't really want to please God sometimes because, I want a little bit of this taste of this sin that I have. You can't say, I want to submit to God's law, but not all the time. You're either hostile to it, to God, or you're not. Romans 8, verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. When we repent of our sins and trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. Only those who have the Spirit in their heart belong to God. Now, it is possible to grieve the Spirit, to fall into sin temporarily, but when the Spirit who lives in us is grieved, we too will be grieved over that sin. This is something that happens in our own heart. The Spirit grieves with us over those sins, and we will ultimately repent and put our trust in Christ. Once again, we see the Trinity working in these verses. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Holy Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God, the Father, dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So we see the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Father, and the Spirit of Christ together, working together, so that he would dwell in us and change us to be more like Jesus. Romans 8, verse 10. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. So, if Christ is in us, if the Holy Spirit is living in us, the body might be dead, meaning there might still be a flesh battling with the spirit, a struggle, a cosmic struggle for us to either obey God or to fall into sin, as we saw at the end of chapter 7 in our last teaching on Romans a few weeks ago. But even though that body might still be dead, that flesh might still have that struggle with sin, the Spirit is in us, bringing life because of the righteousness which is God is working in us, the good works that He has prepared for us to do. There's a righteousness that we have now as the Spirit of God works through us. And we work that righteousness. The law is being fulfilled in us now that we are Christians. Number 7. When we receive the Holy Spirit in our hearts at conversion, Christ Himself is living in our hearts. Even though the body of our sinful nature is still dead because of sin, the Holy Spirit still gives us life through the righteousness of Christ. Number 7. When we receive the Holy Spirit in our hearts at conversion, Christ Himself is living in our hearts. Even though the body of our sinful nature is still dead because of sin, the Holy Spirit still gives us life through the righteousness of Christ. Christ came and He lived a perfectly righteous life. He never sinned, so that we who do sin and continue to sin might receive His righteousness as our own when we trust in Him. What a glorious reality that He offers us His righteousness if we will only repent of our sin and trust in Him, believe in Him, have faith in Him. We receive His righteousness as our own. And then because of the work of the Spirit, we continue to live out more and more righteousness over time. Even though there's still a struggle with sin, we continue to grow in our righteousness to the point where one day we will go to heaven to be with Him and have complete, perfect righteousness just as He has. His righteousness as ours perfectly forever and ever. Romans 8, verse 11 says, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. You might have heard me say this before, but we are united with Jesus Christ when we trust in Him, in His resurrection. And because we're united with Him in His resurrection, we receive new spiritual life through the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts when we're trusting in Him and united with Him in His resurrection. Number 8. Those who have God's Spirit have the resurrection power of God dwelling in them. They are united with Christ in His resurrection and receive new spiritual life in Him. Number 8. Those who have God's Spirit have the resurrection power of God dwelling in them. They are united with Christ in His resurrection and receive new spiritual life in Him. Once again, in these verses, we see a Trinitarian work going on. If the Spirit of Him, the Father, the Spirit of the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, it's the Spirit of the Father dwelling in you, He, the Father, who raised Christ Jesus, Jesus is being raised, we're united with Him, from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit, the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. The work of the entire Trinity here in this verse. Romans 8, verses 12 and 13. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. We no longer owe the sinful nature anything. We are no longer enslaved to the sinful nature. We're not debtors to the flesh any longer. Because if we lived according to the flesh, and that is the way we live our lives as a pattern of life, we would die. But by the Spirit, God has put His Spirit in us as believers. And by the Spirit, we can put to death the deeds of the body. We can kill these sins through setting our minds on the things of God, by fleeing the sinful things which tempt us. We can put to death these deeds of the body and live. In fact, it is a guarantee that as a Christian, if you are truly a Christian, you will be putting to death the deeds of the body. So this is something you can look for in your life to give you assurance that you are a Christian. And if your life is just a pattern of unbroken sin, sin and sin and sin, then you can know that you are headed to death, whether you believe you're a Christian or not. If your life is a pattern of unbroken sin, you are not a Christian. So these verses are telling us how we can know that we are Christian, because we will be putting to death the deeds of the body. That is the Holy Spirit working in us. Number 9. Unbelievers are those who live according to the flesh and will ultimately reap spiritual death. But believers in Christ will put to death the deeds of the body and will ultimately receive life. Number 9. Unbelievers are those who live according to the flesh and will ultimately reap spiritual death. But believers in Christ will put to death the deeds of the body and will ultimately receive life. We want life, but even more than we want life, we want Jesus Christ, who gives life. If we are true Christians, we love Jesus, and we will want to obey Him. We will want to put to death the deeds of the body because we love Him and we don't want to grieve Him or His Spirit or the Father. Application number 1. As you struggle with sin, look to Jesus, who has taken your condemnation on the cross. His finished work has set us free from the power of sin. Number 1. As you struggle with sin, look to Jesus, who has taken your condemnation on the cross. His finished work has set us free from the power of sin. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And because He has taken our condemnation, we are now free to kill the sin that remains in us. His finished work, He said, tetelestai in the Greek, from the cross. That means it is finished. It means that He has done everything that needs to be done in order for us to be saved, including the work of His Spirit in us to make us into His image. He has done everything that needs to be done. The work is finished. That means that it is guaranteed that everyone who will be saved by Him will ultimately and truly and completely be saved. So there's no more condemnation for us. That's final. If we're trusting in Him, that condemnation is gone, and we will grow to be more like Him. Number 2, application number 2. Set your minds on the things of the Spirit and not the things of the flesh. The things of the Spirit are found in the Word of God. So constantly be meditating on the truth of His Word. Number two, set your minds on the things of the Spirit and not the things of the flesh. The things of the Spirit are found in the Word of God. So constantly be meditating on the truth of His Word. Cling to this. Cling to His Word. As if it were a life or death matter, because it is a life or death matter. If we are going to make it, we are going to be finally saved, then it will only happen as much as we cherish and love and know His Word. That is the only way we will put to death the deeds of the body. I mean, Ephesians says that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. This is our only weapon against the connivings of the devil who wants to destroy us. He wants us to indulge our flesh. He's going to find ways to tempt us. But we can use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to kill our sin. And we should cling to it. This should be our constant companion, day in, day out, His Word. Let us pray. Dear Father, I know all of us, including myself, we have not treasured Your Word completely in the way that we could, Father. We all struggle with sin, and there are times when we allow ourselves to fall into sin, Father, and we're not clinging to Your Word. We're not repenting of these sins quickly enough, Father. We're not running the opposite direction when things tempt us, cutting off our arms, plucking out our eyes, Father. I pray that all of us would be encouraged by this text to be doing more to kill the sin in our lives, so that we would be killing sin so that sin is not killing us, Father. I pray all of this in Jesus' name.